Part 1. Laying the Foundation. Teach me to stop and listen. Teach me to center down. Teach me the use of silence. Teach me where peace is found. Teach me to hear your calling. Teach me to search your word. Teach me to hear in silence things I have never heard. Teach me to be collected. Teach me to be in tune. Teach me to be directed. Silence will end so soon. Then when it's time for moving, grant it that I might bring to every day and moment peace from a silent spring. Ken Medema. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Genesis 24:63. Chapter 1. God speaking, teaching, and acting. As fundamental a step as we can take is learning to meditate on Scripture, learning first to hear God's Word and let it inform and take root in us. This may be extremely difficult, for the churches have no courses on meditation, despite the fact that it is an art that must be learned from those who have mastered it, and despite the fact that the supreme task of the church is to listen to the Word of God. Elizabeth O'Connor. Oh, let me tell you how much God desires our presence, how much God longs to hear from us, how much God yearns to communicate with us. At the very heart of God is the passionate disposition to be in loving fellowship with you, with me. From the human side of this equation, it is meditative prayer that ushers us into this divine human fellowship. A place to stand. The biblical foundation for meditation is discovered in the great reality of God speaking, teaching, and acting that lies at the center of the scriptural witness. God brought the universe crashing into existence by the word of His command. God said, "Let there be light," and the Big Bang occurred. In the garden, Adam and Eve talked with God, and God talked with them. They were in communion. Then came the fall, and in an important sense, the experience of perpetual communion was ruptured, for Adam and Eve hid from God. But God continued to reach out to His rebellious children, and in the stories of Cain and Abel, Noah and Abraham, and so many others, we see God speaking and acting, teaching and guiding. Moses learned, albeit with many vacillations and detours, how to hear God's voice and obey God's word. In fact, Scripture witnesses that God spoke to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Exodus 33:11. There was a sense of intimate relationship, of communion. As a people, however, the Israelites were not prepared for such intimacy. Once they learned a little about God, they realized that being in His presence was dangerous business and told Moses so. "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Exodus 20:19. This marked the beginning of the great line of prophets and judges, Moses being the first. But it was a step away from the sense of God's immediacy, the sense of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Then under Samuel, the people clamored for a king. This disturbed Samuel greatly, but God told him not to be discouraged. "For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." 1 Samuel 8:7. Under Moses, they rejected God's immediacy. Under Samuel, they rejected God's direct rule. "Give us a prophet, give us a king. Give us a go-between, so we do not have to come into God's presence for ourselves," they said. So it is today. We do not have to look at religion on the contemporary scene very deeply before we see that it is saturated with the dogma of the mediator. "Give us a pastor, give us a priest, give us someone who will do it for us, so we can avoid intimacy with God ourselves and continue to reap the benefits," we say. Still, in the fullness of time, Jesus came and taught the present reality of the kingdom of God and demonstrated what life could be like in this kingdom. Jesus showed us God's yearning for the